Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode number 25 of the Film Club Podcast. My name is Jason.
I'm Robert.
This is Anthony.
So, Anthony, we got a newcomer.
Yes.
Up in here. How are you, Anthony?
Good, man. Thanks for inviting me.
Of course. Thanks for coming. I really appreciate it. So tell us a little bit about yourself, I guess.
Yeah, my name's Anthony. Graduate of UIC, computer scientist. Looking for software engineering, so if you're looking for a computer scientist slash engineer,
yeah.
Software engineer, you can hire me, please, now. I need to work and make money. So that would be cool. Alright, that's me.
Cool. So how have you guys been?
Good.
As of late?
Good.
Good?
Yeah.
It's good. You want to talk about anything, Robert?
Or just... no, am I supposed to talk about something?
No, not really.
I thought you were looking at me like, yeah, you know, you want to bring that up?
No.
Bring what up?
You have to go there, huh?
Yeah. So, how's it been being 30 for a week?
Fuck you.
Oh, God, you guys are mean.
How old are you, Anthony, by the way?
27?
He's a young one. He's a young buck. I'm a 20. I'm going to be 29 in a few months.
Okay.
In June.
Yeah, let's stop talking about our...
rub it in, Jason. I know. This just got awkward.
Yeah. Now we look like losers. We'll sit here and talk about movies.
So I guess you guys want to get into it right away?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
So in this... a world.
Do you want to do it? Do you want to read it off?
Yeah,
Totally do it.
I can do it.
So we're reviewing,
I turned it off.
It's okay, it's a side button. We're reviewing, Oz the Great and Powerful. So Anthony, can you, tell us what that's about?
When Oscar digs a small-time circus magician with, oh god, dubious ethics is hurled away from dusty Kansas to the vibrant land of Oz. He thinks he's hit the jackpot for him. And fortune are his for the
taking. This is not going to
until he meets here. Jason, you please read.
It's a semi-prequel. Well, I guess it is the prequel to The Wizard of Oz.
That was a horrible writing for the film. That doesn't fit anything I'll say about the film. It'll be like, Mila Kunis.
I thought it was like...
is a witch. It's going to be great. Please watch Mila Kunis fly.
Yeah. So what did you guys think of Oz? The Great and Powerful. Who wants to give it the start? Who wants to start? You guys want me to start?
Swing.
Yes. Swing away.
Okay. I guess overall, mostly bad. Mostly I did not like this film. There were some bright spots, I thought. I'm a big Wizard of Oz fan, I guess I'll start by saying that. I haven't seen it since I was a child, but it was one of those movies that I used to watch literally every day. So I don't know how long that went on for a few months I watched The Wizard of Oz.
Wow.
Every single day. So it's one of my favorites ever. Going into this, I don't know.
Did you have high hopes?
No, not really.
You were dreading it, yeah.
I was kind of dreading it. I mean, you know, we are like, what, two weeks removed from it coming out. So
yeah.
I listened to this other film podcast, and pretty much across the board, they did not like the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, going in, I was not too excited about it.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, it just seemed like CGI overload. And I guess given the talent involved, which I'm sure we'll get into soon, I wasn't too excited about it. But I don't know. Like I said, I thought it was mostly bad. But there were bright spots.
Yeah.
Would you guys say so?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say I enjoyed the film, but yeah, a lot of there's nitpicking to be done. Mm-hmm. I came with the whole children's film aspect, but I know it was like it's one of those mixed audience films. They want the parents to be entertained. So you get that aspect that there is underlying mature themes, but yeah, kind of hit or miss.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah,
that's general.
No, I agree, a bad movie. I tried to be forgiving because, like, as I was watching it, I'm like, okay, this is a kid's movie.
Yeah.
It's a kid's movie.
Yeah.
It's a kid's movie, but just the acting was, I mean, I want to get into Raimi a little bit because I love Raimi as a horror filmmaker. I mean, I enjoyed Spider-Man 2. I really enjoy the first one or the third one that much.
Mm-hmm.
I just think he's an old, really cheesy director. Like he creates these really cheesy moments that's just for me, rub me the wrong way a little bit.
Yeah.
And I just this movie was filled with that, and I just was like, I was cringing a lot during the movie. Like I really was. Like when the way they were talking and the dialogue and just how fake everything seemed. Like
yeah.
I was just like, oh, like, ugh. Like I don't know. I don't know because I'm cynical or
yeah.
but I just
I don't know. To me, it didn't seem overly fake. Like I definitely thought
the whole movie was green screen.
Yeah, I know.
But like, okay, I can see fake. Like Franco, like he's supposed to be a magician, right? Like just this well-respected magician.
Yeah.
And he can't do anything. Like it's so fake when he's like going, Alakazam. But I think it's supposed to be implied that he doesn't feel comfortable in this like world where he's mm-hmm. supposed to be an all-powerful wizard.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know.
But is that bad acting? I don't know. Maybe.
I mean, I thought his character was supposed to kind of come off as this charmer.
And he kind of knows
who's in control in a way.
He tells people when he has the time to, like, I'm faking this.
Yeah.
So, and it shows in his acting. Alakazam.
I mean, I don't know. I was going to save this till later, but I guess I'll get right into it. As far as James Franco, like, you know, the movie is about this character named Oscar or whatever, who's basically a magician or whatever, an illusionist, and he goes, finds himself going into this other world where, like, great things are expected of him, but he knows that he doesn't have what it takes, I guess, to fit into that role.
But he does.
Yeah, but, like, for me, that perfectly mirrors James Franco as an actor. Like, oh, he has this, I don't know how he's done it, but he's created this illusion that he's a good actor, or even a semi-capable actor, and to me he's not. Like, he is just not good.
I could see that.
I mean, and it's not to say I don't like him, because there were parts in this movie where I actually did find him charming, and I did like him a little bit. Like, I didn't hate his character in the movie, but I feel like throughout the whole movie, they're giving him something that he's just not capable of doing. Like, he's not... He shouldn't be leading movies. He shouldn't be carrying films whatsoever, you know? Like, that he doesn't belong in that space. Just like he didn't belong at the Oscars. Like, he's just a really awkward guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, like, you know, there was Pineapple Express. That's probably his one great role, and it fit and perfectly for him.
But there's actually this really good article on Film Drunk that... where they talk about how he brings in this persona of being this weird person, this horrible actor, but like people think, like, is this all just for show? Is he doing this on purpose? Is he being like this terrible actor on purpose? Like, is this, you know, because he does get away with a lot of stuff. You said, like, he's, for some reason, he's freaking famous as hell, and it's you just can't think of it how he's that famous. And it's true. Like, the guy's a mystery to me. He really is.
It's insane.
This movie is totally fitting for his character.
Yeah.
Like, beyond character, it's like, it's actually like signature.
Yeah.
This is him.
Yeah.
I'm faking it, but, you know, I'm pretty awesome. It's in me to be awesome.
And, like, all he consists of is, like, this weird grin, this weird smile that he always gives off. You guys ever get that from him?
No, yeah.
And to me, like...
He forces it in this film a lot.
To me, that didn't start until Spider-Man 3, after he got his went into a coma or whatever, or got amnesia or whatnot, and then since then he's been like this really grinny actor. It's just really strange to me. I don't know.
Does he have any medical problems? Because I don't want to go there if he has medical problems.
I don't know.
I honestly believe that guy's like a performance artist, and he's putting on a show, and
maybe
he does all these things and like that he can get away with, and he's like the any
I think maybe he gets by because he kind of has that look, I guess.
Yeah,
that works for people. But the acting, he doesn't have the acting obviously to go with it.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then let's just get into it.
Here we go.
Getting into it.
Mila Kunis.
She's so beautiful. She really is.
Why do they have to make her green though? It's so stupid. Like you have the most like beautiful actress for this role, and just she's going to be the Wicked Witch. But, speaking of which, the sister duo, that's so unnecessary. I just felt that was filler. I know it's like probably necessary for the classic.
Yeah, right? It's all of this stuff was necessary just to tie into that. Yeah.
It felt so non-existent. Yeah. The sister, it was so forced.
Yeah. I actually...
I'm not paying tribute to the original Oz.
I actually dug the... what's her name? I thought Rachel Weisz was fine.
Yeah, she was okay.
For the most part. Like, when she came in, I'm like, oh, that's good. Finally a lady who knows what the hell she's doing.
Like a mature actor. Yeah.
And then Michelle Williams, she kind of played it down, but she's always awesome.
She played Marilyn Monroe in that movie. Yeah. But she did play Marilyn Monroe before, but that's what I got off of it.
Did you see that movie?
No.
What was it called? The Marilyn one with Michelle Williams?
Oh, the one I recommended? My Weekend with Marilyn?
No, My Weekend.
Oh, no.
Yeah, just side note, I'm wondering.
Okay.
But, yeah.
So Mila Kunis, she's the Green Witch, and she flies around the screen a lot and just doesn't really act and just kind of
the worst actress in the world. I mean, that's what a witch does, man.
This is just like, it's the same case of like what they're giving her. She's not.
Yeah,
she's not capable of that.
The forced anger and the forced laughter. It's just.
I don't know. And she's when you first see her character, she's like supposed to be this really naive woman, and it just comes off so weird.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah,
that scene where she comes in, there was a lot of color play. Like it was like a festival of colors, like right when she's introduced. Mm-hmm. Like that's the film's kind of highlight of color, and I really like that. I did like the whole just bright colors and everything was really enchanting, but then it's gone. Like that's like within the first act is colors, and then the rest is all dark, which is that's a movie. But I didn't like the change. You go from all these happy Oz colors in the first act to complete grimness of the second and third.
Yeah. So anything you guys did like about the film? I actually...
I like the introduction.
Yeah, the intro was really cool. Yeah, the black and white.
The 4:3 shot film.
Yeah,
that was cool. That was cool.
And I actually really enjoyed the two CGI characters that were in the movie. The porcelain doll.
Oh, and then the monkey.
The monkey. Was awesome. I thought the monkey was hilarious, but there wasn't enough of them.
Everyone likes monkeys. Yeah. You put a monkey in a film, people are bound to like it. So.
Yeah. Well, like,
life-saving throw. Throw a monkey in this film. People are going to love it.
Yeah. But, like, the writing from him was good. Like, he was funny. He was good.
Funny.
He was good.
Yeah, a lot of good comic relief with him. Yeah,
he cried. He got a little too serious at times. But
yeah,
easily too.
Yeah,
like, he was a very emotional monkey. Yes, he was. Which is an odd turn for Hollywood as far as monkeys go. Emotionally unstable monkey. I really enjoyed the acting of the porcelain doll, like how the actors interacted with this 3D doll.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if it was cheesy for you guys, but yeah, just doing this whole like motion, like it is a doll.
I'm just trying to remember, like, there were so many moments where you and I just looked at each other and we just wanted to laugh, and you were biting your
finger.
Wish
I'd seen it with you guys.
You were biting your finger, like your knuckle, and like you just wanted
anything of Mila Kunis got me that way.
I would have just punched you guys while I was in the theater with you guys, just like, why are we at this film?
Yeah.
It's cool.
I think that was honestly my favorite part of the movie, was laughing at it. So like, like there are moments where you and I looked at each other and were like, oh my God, like really? Like, and that's what I enjoyed most about the movie.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good time for that, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, there were good moments. I mean, like, there was I think when he starts pulling off the trick at the end? And you're like, didn't you say something like badass or something? Like, that's cool. Like, he starts like with the smoke and the.
No, I actually really liked the final climax.
No, the climax, when it started building up. That was actually pretty cool,
I like dug that, obviously they didn't have like the manpower to do, so it was all about trickery,
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Like,
yeah.
I thought that was cool. It was different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was probably it for me. Yeah.
I mean, but the ending kind of left somewhat less of a bad taste in my mouth, I guess.
Well, I mean, they did that on purpose because they want to say, well, let's see if we can fill in more films between Wizard of Oz and this one, So, obviously, that's what they're going to do.
Yeah. Anything else, Anthony?
I probably had something in between all these, like, mixed thoughts. I got a video game vibe through it, like, kind of this, like, he had all, he has everything in his inventory, but he doesn't know how to do it. And that's kind of what it was. I think this film was going very video game. And I think it's way more obvious in Wreck-It Ralph. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this whole obvious, this is a video game. We're playing homage to video game culture, sort of a Zelda type deal, like mm-hmm. Link to the Past,
yeah.
where you have all these items, or how are you gonna use them to get to X, yeah. To final destination.
Yeah.
It worked. I mean, so it was watchable.
Yeah, it had its clever moments, like yeah. the hint towards like Mila Kunis's character, who she becomes, and
yeah.
in the beginning, and little like. Drops of that, but yeah,
that was pretty good. That reveal yeah. when Franco. Okay, so I watched it in two sessions. Okay. So, when I first the first session I watched it because I had to stop it and then play it again later. The first session I was like, wow, Franco's character really isn't a good guy at all, and it's kind of that whole like he gives each lady this my grandmother's music box.
Yeah.
And that was kind of cool. That was a moment in the film. It was like, oh, Franco's a horrible person.
I thought it was funny, yeah. I thought it was funny. I mean, and his character doesn't really become like a nice guy or anything like that. Well, in my opinion, anyway. I mean, for me, he's not. It's just like he's not looking for fulfillment with like a lady. Yeah. He's just looking for fulfillment.
Does his character change?
And like who he is.
I think his character is supposed to change when he gives the gifts.
Yeah.
When he's supposed to like.
To me, it doesn't feel like genuine. Like,
yeah. Like where the hell, you've been in Oz all this time.
Yeah.
How original can a gift be? You obviously had it on you this whole time. Yeah. And it's like, how heartfelt would it be? Like, I just happened to hold this item that is going to be very particular and heartfelt to you in my bag.
Yeah.
You know, he's had it this whole time.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. His character turn was not.
Well, yeah. I mean, I felt like it had a good. There was a really good underlying theme in that movie, mm-hmm. which we actually talked about it with For Moneyball, about how finding your self worth and how like when you don't see it in yourself, like there's other people around you that yeah. see that you're worth more than what you think you are.
Yeah,
and I kind of saw that, and I think that's a good message, especially for kids these days to like see.
Yeah,
I mean that was probably the best part of the movie, yeah. and I got that a little bit. I mean,
yeah, I guess me too. Yeah. Like I like saw that.
Because there were so many moments where he's like, I'm not this, I'm not that. Yeah. Yeah. Like, no, you are this. You can be this. And
you got that smile and like that stoner look. That's cool. You got that going for you. You should rock that. Based your whole career on it, so that's cool.
But yeah, that's what I got out of the movie, I mean, never sell yourself short.
Yeah, I like that aspect of it.
Yeah.
Just, the woman, the whole womanizing aspect is...
Oh, it's the whole freaking show.
Sorry, man.
Every woman's the same in this film. Yeah. They all get played by Franco in the exact same fashion, and they all fall for Franco.
They all did play pretty dumb, all but, the women
yeah,
in this
I mean, but yeah, oh, like the... Franco. Even, like, Mila Kunis' turn, like, she met the guy once, man. What's wrong with her? Like, she needs to get over that.
Oh, she's like, we're going to get married. I'm going to be your queen. He's like,
probably
what?
Oz is somewhat of a lonely place.
For life.
Place.
Yeah, she's like, for life. And he's like, what? Over-attached girlfriend.
She can be my overly attached girlfriend. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah. Turns green at the end.
Oh, yeah,
so.
Just don't turn green, I guess. Yeah,
she probably would, though.
That's still.
Yes.
I know on the inside it'd still be Mila Kunis. So I'm like,
just get over it.
I get over it. You're still Mila Kunis. I, as long as I know that.
Just a little green.
You're just still a little good. Green. It's okay.
Different bone structure.
Yeah, let's fix the eyebrows maybe a little bit, and then yeah.
Kind of wide chin going on there.
Yeah, get some chin surgery.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway.
Any other thoughts on Oz?
No.
I'm sure there's something else. Not for me.
Checking the iPad.
Are you taking notes?
A little bit.
I need to start writing notes down.
I only wrote them here, so don't feel bad.
Cool. That's it? That's it. Final thoughts, rating out of 5?
I give it 2 out of 5.
I'll go 2.
2.5.
All right.
Yay.
So that's Oz. Oh, I forgot to press record.
Did you really?
Oh,
he fucking asshole.
That would be epic.
I don't recall pressing record, but it happened at one point.
Did it really? Well. Anyway.
So we're doing, next up is movie homework. Anthony, obviously, this is his first episode that he's on. We started movie homework yesterday. Rudy's not here. We didn't even mention that.
You guys didn't do it last week?
Yeah, Rudy's not here, everybody.
That, last week is when we first introduced him.
Oh, okay.
So this is the first week we're actually discussing movie homework.
So you sign and then talk? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
So our movies for last week, you want to get into yours first?
Yeah, sure.
Rudy had Robert, and he picked...
Rudy gave me the assignment to watch Closer, which is a movie that I was always really hesitant to watch, because... Mm-hmm. I just hate movies with terrible characters who make you angry.
Yeah.
So the movie really made me angry. I mean, but, you know, I was actually thinking about this on the drive here.
Yeah.
Well, the movie's pretty much, I guess I should get into the plot, right? It's about these four characters who are pretty much, in my opinion, stupid. Who, you know, like to confuse love with lust and who are really confused as to what they want. And they end up all fucking around with each other's lives.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I know it's a really weird plot synopsis that I'm giving for it, but that's what I got out of it.
That was pretty good synopsis.
But it stars Natalie Portman, Clive Owen, Jude Law, and Julia Roberts. And, who are all very unlikable characters. But I realized on the drive here, and something you told me, like, you're meant to be angry at these people. You're supposed to hate the movie.
Yeah.
I get that. Yeah. And it was a terrible viewing experience for me. But there were really honest moments in the movie, too, like, that I really loved about the movie, especially, like, the middle, like, the breakup scenes. And mostly between Jude Law and Natalie Portman, Allison, I forgot the guy's name.
Yeah.
They had this really honest breakup scene. And let's be honest, we've all had that scene. We've all had those moments. We've all sounded exactly like those characters. So, I mean, that was the only, like, really well-written scene. I thought, as far as dialogue, the writing, most of it sounded like people don't talk like that. People don't have, you know, they don't really don't. But those,
I mean, it's based on a play. It's probably wordy in a fake way, like
exactly,
you said.
Yeah. But, yeah, that breakup scene was really, really... I was like, okay, it's finally something. It's getting really good, finally. And that was great. That was my favorite moment of the scene. And I mean, how can I talk about this movie other than without giving anything away? But these characters just like go in and out of each other's lives. They're together, then they break up, then they go with the other person, and they come back. And it's just so, it gets you so angry and frustrated. And at the end, like, I felt like they're just as empty as they were in the beginning.
Definitely.
All these characters.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it shows you how. And relationships, how people who are selfish can just, if they don't figure out what the fuck they want, they're just going to end up the same person. And I felt like that's what I got out of the movie.
Yeah.
Is it a no spoiler?
We could get into Closer.
This is an old movie. I don't know.
Yeah, we could get into, like any movies we talk about on here, we could get into just, them.
Don't worry about spoilers, because,
Have you
spoiled this shit?
Have you not seen it?
No, I've not seen it.
Okay.
So,
listening attentively.
I mean, it's like if you've been in a relationship. I mean, if you've seen relationships, if you've seen breakups, if you've been in one, you've seen the movie.
Yeah.
That's how I don't know how else to say it other than that. Yeah,
just like,
or you know where the movie's heading. So
third person.
So I mean, I think Rudy picked this on purpose for me so I can get angry, you know?
And definitely, it was definitely a low blow.
Yeah, it was a low blow. And like, ouch. I told myself, you know what? I'm not going to come in here like ripping on the movie. It had its great moments. It had its honest moments, but then it had its moments that were just ridiculous. But if you really want to see a good movie about relationships and about people who are unsure of themselves and what they want in a relationship, watch The Last Waltz. That one depicted all of that more perfectly than this movie did.
Yeah.
Because there's, these characters are vicious. But, like, really, are there that many vicious people like this in the worst world? I'm guessing there are. But, I mean, I would like to hope that there aren't. And that's why with a movie like Last Waltz, it's a kinder, more gentler way of seeing that unfold. Like, a relationship or, like, someone who's unhappy in a relationship.
Yeah.
How they deal with it.
Yeah.
That's way better than watching this thing where people just treat each other like the worst people in the world. Like, pretty much, even they say it in the movie, like animals. Mm. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah. Yeah. It's rough. It's a rough movie.
Cool.
Yeah. We'll talk about it next week on when Rudy's
here. No, that's
here.
The only time I'm talking about it. Rudy didn't come in today, so he's not going to get the pleasure of hearing me talk about it.
Yeah. I enjoy it. I saw it recently. Not too recently, but maybe a handful of months ago. I didn't like how much it initially did, because I felt like the plotting was a little... too convenient, I guess. Just the way things certain characters do, I thought was just too convenient, I guess.
Exactly.
But there are a lot of strong moments of dialogue and and of genuine emotion, I guess.
Yeah.
So I still really like the performances overall. So
yeah, I felt like honestly, I think the writing had more to do with the performances and them and themselves. Natalie Portman was great.
I really love Clive Owen as well.
Clive Owen was okay. I really, out of all the characters, I disliked him the most.
He was the most animalistic out of all of them.
He really was. And
certain things he says is pretty.
Well, both of the males were bad. I mean, Jude Law started out as like a not so, like, you know.
Jude Law's just he's a very slimy character.
Yeah, he was
in the
slimy,
movie.
But more sneakier than Clive Owen was just out there and like he was more vicious and he was like the lion and.
Yeah.
Was a hyena or something.
Yeah. What do you think is worse? Being straightforward about something like that, about maybe someone's lack of humanity, I guess,
or morals,
or being kind of sly about it.
That's
kind of being that charmer.
It's hard. That's like picking the lesser of two evils. And
yeah.
I feel like they're both just as bad.
Yeah.
I mean, because they both like. Do the same kind of harm to someone. I don't know. But yeah.
Cool.
Who's next?
So Robert had me watch Network.
Yes.
Right. So Network is
a good film.
Movie made in 76.
76 or 77, I'm not sure.
I think 76, made by Sidney Lumet or something like that.
Sidney Lumet.
Yeah, it's just, you know, takes place in a network. It's a bunch of different characters. Kind of guess the catalyst for the film is this one guy named Harold Beale, I believe. Am I getting that name right?
Harold, yeah.
And, you know, he was like this huge broadcaster, but, you know, his heydays are gone. His ratings are going down. So one day he's on air and he says in a week he's going to kill himself. So that kind of gets the movie going. They initially, of course, want to fire the guy, but his ratings kind of spike. So they think, hey, maybe we could get something out of this, I guess. But I don't know. The movie... There's a lot of characters and a lot going on. I guess the thing that I held on to most were monologues. There's so many different characters that have these phenomenal monologues. Obviously, his character, who, you know, that starts it with the whole, you know, I'm mad, I'm not going to take it anymore.
Did you open your whatnot. Window? Were you that?
I did not. Well, actually, him continuously saying it, I'm like, all right, I got it. And then, but I thought it was a pretty cool scene how you saw all these people going out and kind of yelling. But I don't know. There's a lot of great monologues in the film. There's kind of this weird side story from the manager of the network, I guess, and he's kind of seesawing. They're asking him to step down, but they're also asking him to stay. And there's this whole love story aspect to it. They kind of like caught me off guard, but I don't know. Like the movie has, I mean, I know I have to see it again, but I think the movie has an incredible satire, like of what it's trying to say about the nature of movie networks and just the nature of television in general, and the kind of stories that are told on there that are just, you know, and just the idea that this guy found his truth, I guess, in himself, or he let this truth out. And now they're just trying to sell that truth.
Yeah.
Just a lot of good stuff. Why do you like the movie so much, Ron?
Oh, number one, the writing. It's fantastic. It's phenomenal. I love, like you said, it's a satire on television. And I feel like this movie represents what, especially during this whole reality TV craze that's going on now. I feel like it saw the future. It saw where we were heading as far as TV. Yeah,
it definitely like mirrors what's going on right now.
Like, whoa, this movie was way ahead of its time. Like, how the fuck do you know that all of this was going to happen? You know, so I mean, that's what I loved about the film. And yeah, I just number one, the writing. It's really beautiful. I mean, those monologues, like you said, exactly. Every monologue in that movie is fantastic.
These actors are just given so much good stuff to do, and they like delivered on it. Yeah. I mean, when I was saying with this whole side love story, there's like this young hotshot woman who's trying to like take control of the network and, you know, do new things, you know, get them out. I guess they're one of the lower rated networks and she's trying to bring them back. So there's this whole love story with the guy. But this guy's married, and there's just this really strong scene with this guy as he's leaving his ex-wife for this other woman. It was just really powerful and just felt really true. But then, you know, you're like looking at this movie and you're saying, this is kind of out of place, this scene, and within the film itself. Mm-hmm. But those are the moments, I mean, of satire. Like, they're trying to give you something that you would see, like, in some television show about some, like, twisted love story. Yeah. But at the same time, there's this incredible truth going on. Yeah. I don't know. To me, like, truth is, like, a big thing to describe this movie. Like, yeah. There were so many moments where, like, characters were thinking something, but then they're just given this information that, like, no, this is what it is. You know, another example of that is Harold Beale. You know, he eventually gets his show, but then he has this moment where he takes on the Arabs, something about to do with oil, and just kind of he strikes a chord with the higher ups, and he's flown to New York.
Yeah,
Eddie sat down in this boardroom, and like the guy of the boardroom, like, just fucking hammers down on him, and it's incredible.
Was he pretended like to be God or something? Like, I am God, or I forgot the monologue he was. But yeah, I remember like
it was like incredible, and Harold has like this terrified look, like he's like, "What am I doing? What am I getting myself into here?"
Yeah,
I thought that was amazing.
Yeah, that was a great scene. I remember that too.
Yeah,
I was telling Jason that I've only seen this movie in portions.
Yeah,
and now based on that statement and hearing you guys talk about it, I feel like I've only seen the introduction monologue where he gets mad as hell.
Oh, mad as hell.
Yeah. But like that speech is just like totally
it's
for this generation. It's meant for us just sitting down and just watching television. Like, we are the most entertained but the least informed generation of our society.
Yeah.
And it speaks to our time. It's that speech itself just feels like it could have been created within this year.
Yeah. It's like brilliant social commentary, obviously, but also, like I said, the satire just seems really, really poignant, I guess. Satire, and that's what makes me want to see it again.
I love it. It's one of my favorites. That scene, Mad as Hell, it's one of my all-time favorite movie scenes. I mean, like, Paul Thomas Anderson loves that movie, which he made everybody watch before he filmed Magnolia.
Oh, yeah.
Watch this movie.
Okay.
Which is one of, like, my second favorite movie. So, like, I feel like, you know.
I made my brother watch that movie. He went into a depression.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, yeah, it can be a depressing movie.
I think I ruined
movie.
His life.
No, it with can that be a film. Really
I hope he's listening.
But,
one of my brothers. You'll get it.
Sorry, Anthony's brother.
Yeah. Ruined his life. I like that film.
No, I do too.
I did not know that was going to be the repercussions of the watching that film. Giving up.
But yeah, no, it's,
cool. All right, so thanks, Robert. that was a good choice. That was a good choice. I enjoyed it very much.
Okay,
it's
great.
One of my favorites, yeah. So.
Yeah. So I guess we'll get into what we watched this week or in general.
Okay.
Do you want to start up, Anthony, since
we've
been talking so much?
Sure, I do have one fresh. Spring Breakers coming out. I want to watch something by Harmony. What's his last name?
Corinne.
Current.
Yeah.
So I watched his Gummo?
Yeah, yeah.
Gummo? I watched that.
I saw that in Sundance one
day. That was really interesting. It was like watching National Geographic's.
It really was.
With no narration. This is the poor, you know, freaking, Zena Indianian and his natural habitat. This is how he makes his life. You know, looking for dead cats and like making your life by this whole town that's never recovered from a storm.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's Zena, Indiana, and they've had a storm 20 years ago before the film, never recovered for it in this fantasy. Like, I've looked up, like, I had to look up, and I was like, so curious. I'm like, what happened? You know, that storm did happen, but they did recover. It's just kind of a fantasy world as far as I've seen. And, it was gross and weird and just everything. It was just watching raw data with no narration.
Yeah,
like, it's kind of no direction. Like, it's just scene. This happens in a poor society. And it's interesting. It oddly flows.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. Last time I saw was like in Christmas Eve 2006.
Okay.
Yeah, I was working at AMC then, and like I had my own place, and like I didn't go home because my whole family was in Juliet. It's like, oh, I'm gonna go home by myself, and like I'm watching Sundance, and I came on, and I ended up watching it till like 1 a.m, and it was great. Like I was so into it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree with you. It's just segments. It's like little. It's, I guess it's an art house movie. I mean, there's no other way to explain it other than that.
It's like these characters come in, they feel like they're like free-versing, but they're really in character.
Yeah, no, yeah.
And it's just great. I mean, these kids are being interviewed, and it's like, they're real. You know, it's like, they're being honest. Like, so how's your grandma? My grandma's, you know, she doesn't talk anymore. You know, it's all this weird, like, interactions. And it being a poor community, I was trying to relate it with other, like, poor communities. Like, and it just wasn't flowing. It just felt like something completely unnatural. Yeah. It was not. It was unique. As a putting a camera in a poor community that's just fantasy, and it works. They all played it well. They played the cards. They made me believe it was a city that never recovered. So it was cool.
Yeah, I just remember that the houses full of garbage and like bathtub full of dirty water. And,
everybody is a hoarder.
Yeah, everybody's a hoarder in the movie. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's crazy. It's a good movie. Like the little kid, what's his name? His name was Gummo, right?
No. It was Simoleon?
He had just the oddest face, and the hair was up, and
his face was perfect for this film. Like yeah, it was. Even when like his face is like this, right, for straightforward for the film, but like they get the sideway view, it's just perfect for the film. You have the box cover, the box artwork, that's what's famous for, right?
Yeah.
That's the box art. But he's that in 3D, you know, like he is that character and it fits him so well.
Cool. I haven't seen any of his films.
Makes me think twice about Chinese food though. Just kidding. That's a little racist.
He like brought up kids and I remember I had seen kids, but outside of that.
Yeah, I was talking to Jason about kids. It's a little personal.
Julian Donkey Boy is actually a good one, too.
Which one?
Julian Donkey Boy.
Okay.
That one's a really good one. Werner Herzog's actually in that movie.
Okay.
He plays, like, the dad in the movie, and he has these amazing monologues in the movie. It's so fucking amazing.
It's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I gotta see that one.
Cool. Anything else you saw?
Game of Thrones. I was behind. Now I'm all caught up.
So. You're all caught up?
Yeah.
All caught up.
I missed the event today. They had the event.
Well, you were invited, right?
Well, you had to RSVP.
Wait, well, there's an event.
Why didn't you RSVP? I mean, that would have been a gift.
I did. And I got in, but I just didn't go. I don't know.
I'm going to hurt you.
Well,
Jason will be hurt.
I had to work till 5, and then it started at like 5:30.
You couldn't find any other friends that could attend that such a thing?
I don't know why. I was kind of a douchebag, and I didn't do a plus one, and I'm like, why did I not do that? Yeah. Well, actually, I like did it, and then Alex and Laura were...
It would have been weird.
I like invite. I like told them to RSVP, and then they didn't get in, so I'm like, okay, so now if I go, I'm going by myself. Yeah, I'm like, I don't really want to do that.
Weirdo. I can't have this ruined by anybody, like, to my left or right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
you missed the premiere. That's great.
Yeah. So, how do you like Game of Thrones?
It's great. It was really good. I enjoyed the first season more than the second, but that's not to say anything bad about the second.
Yeah.
It all moves together. I've introduced that theory, and people are very off put by it. But I really like the first season more than the second.
I actually agree.
Yeah, I agree with you too.
Yeah, people want to hang me when I say that. But maybe I say it wrong. Maybe I say, like, I don't know.
I think they're both very good, but
yeah.
I don't know. Sean Bean, man.
I feel like the first one flowed a lot better. Like,
Like the second season was like, oh yeah, this guy's battling for the throne. This guy's battling for the throne. Oh, one episode pause. Oh, these guys are battling for the throne. It's like, yay, I like it. I like that there's all these entities that are all of a sudden introduced to, like, yes, this guy's going for the crown, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the second season, introducing all the cards.
I actually can't get into, is her name Daenerys? Targaryen? The dragon lady?
Queen? Oh, yes.
I don't like her portions of the story.
I felt it was going, I felt, yeah, I liked the direction it was going in the beginning, in the first season. I thought that was interesting, and then
With her brother, the hostile tension.
Yeah, that was cool. But once they get to that town, that fort, whatever.
Second season,
that gets
when she lost her husband. That's when it was all downhill.
Yeah.
Like I thought, there was a strong they were starting to appeal to a broader audience. Like this relationship was real. You know, it was her and her and Dothraki husband. I'm not gonna get it, but
not the race.
Yeah, so. Like, that relationship was strong. And then all of a sudden, he just dies. Oh, spoilers, guys.
Yeah.
Lots of spoilers.
Yeah, apparently there's... it really is close to the books, and it changes...
What are we talking about? Trying to rewrite history, right?
Yeah, the books really go, in different directions, I heard, too, and so many new
characters. I've heard some things about the books, which, right now we're rooting for the underdogs, and that may or may not be a good thing.
No, yeah, I know. I know what happens because I my dumbass went on Wikipedia because oh my god, I love this show. I need to find out what happens. I need to read about these books.
Everyone is freaking out.
It's going to be brutal.
Everyone
is freaking out. Is it the future that people are freaking out about? Don't get attached to anybody. Everyone dies. all my friends are dead. Dinosaur story, right? But I watched two seasons of it, and I was never really heartbroken besides Ned, Ned's void was harsh,
That was so great.
I thought Ned was, the perfect character, and his character stood for, after his death, there's no nobility. There's no one honest people anymore. The one honest character dies, and now no one's honest.
Yeah.
It's like, Khaleesi. I had to say it like that. You were paused on the name.
Khaleesi?
Yeah. Khaleesi.
Khaleesi, or the guy, her bodyguard.
Yeah.
Was secretly in love with her.
I like him a lot. He's a cool guy.
He's a bad guy.
Are you talking about Dog?
He's the bad guy in Resident Evil movies. That's all.
No, wait, are you guys... The guy who has a thing for Khaleesi.
Oh, okay.
Like her bodyguard.
Yeah.
He's cool.
We talking about the white guy?
Yeah, the white guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's great. He's a good character.
Yeah.
Got something up his sleeve.
We'll see.
Just keep watching.
So, anything else?
About Game of Thrones?
No. Anything else you saw?
No.
No? Okay. You want me to go next?
Or? Yeah, you can go next.
Okay. Where do I start? Dread. I saw Dread because you told me to see it. Did you see Dread?
No.
Heard a lot of good things about it. It's pretty good. It's pretty damn good.
I mean, it's not awesome, but I mean, it's
entertaining.
I heard the soundtrack's good.
It is.
I actually really enjoyed the soundtrack a lot, throughout the film.
Is it that one, do you guys know the artist that was, did the soundtrack?
I'm not sure. No.
Yeah.
It's pretty pumping, though. It's pretty awesome.
It is.
But yeah, I mean, it's just it's a comic book movie, and it's such a simple concept, and that's what it's supposed to be. It's just simple. Just this guy who believes in the law. There's not much to Dread, but that's just all he is. He does his job, and that's what defines his character. And you have this and you have this woman who I wasn't really too excited about seeing her because I don't like her that much. She was in Juno. She was Juno's best friend.
Okay.
Olivia Thirlby, I think her name is. But she was really good. She played this kind of rookie cop who's a psychic and goes out into the field with him for the first time, and they fall upon, like you talked about, the episode of Yuza.
Did the series, the big question, did the series survive without Sylvester?
I never saw Dread, Judge Dread.
I saw it when I was a kid. I know. I didn't like it.
I avoided that one, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, just he yells at his gun. Siri wasn't even that accurate,
Well, they're still gun yelling.
Widespread!
Pretty awesome.
No, he does that in this one too, but he doesn't get it that bad. He just
I thought Carl Urban did a pretty serviceable job as Dread. Like I said, the concept's just super simple.
There's so many badass
apartment complex. Yeah, and like you said, the slow
mo. Is that on Blu-ray?
You can download it and stuff.
Wow.
But
I don't do that kind of thing, Jason. I'm just totally for buying things. It's weird.
But the slow-mo was pretty sweet.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. There was one scene which I had actually, I forgot that I had seen a clip of it that's particularly brutal, involving slow motion and bullets going through cheeks and shit. It's pretty gross. And I actually was really disturbed by the thought when not really when slow-mo is first entered. No, not that. There's a, you know, the whole movie takes place in this high rise, and the high rise kind of has like a center, like the center's hollow.
Yeah.
And the big, like,
Mexican standoff style?
No. Like, well, actually, there's one part, but the big, like, gangsters live on the top floor. And when you first introduced to them, I guess they were interrogating these guys. And they're like, we're going to skin them and throw them off the balcony. But they're going to give them slow-mo before they throw them off. So I just, that idea really disturbed me.
Yeah.
Thinking that.
But that was such a great scene.
Yeah. Though. Like, you're probably going to be falling for a good hour knowing that you're gonna die at the end. Like, how terrifying must that be? But yeah, I don't know,
that point of
the movie
view
was
though,
cool, the action was cool
when they do that to them though,
yeah, that was awesome,
that was amazing, that was my favorite part of the movie.
The only gripe I had with it was Game of Thrones, Lena Headey as Mama. I did not like her at all.
She was
all
right.
There was not much up to her character. I thought her scar looked really stupid. I just didn't really like her character, but that's like a minor complaint. Yeah. The movie's pretty awesome. It's worth checking out.
Cool.
Yeah.
Definitely will.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jason.
And what the hell? I'm trying to think of what else I saw.
Yeah, I can't remember what I saw.
Yesterday I saw a movie on Netflix called Sassy Pants. Cynthia chose it, but I know it's based on an Asian film. I actually wanted to see the original because I heard it's really good. But it's just about this girl. She kind of lives in a small town. Her mom, which is, I believe, the Walter's wife in Breaking Bad.
Okay.
That woman.
Breaking Bad.
You know, she doesn't have a husband. Her husband turned out to be gay. And it's actually the guy from the Drew Carey Show, whatever. But she's a very controlling mother. She's homeschooling these kids. And the girl just graduated from homeschooling. Like, she's a valedictorian, even though just homeschooled valedictorian. But obviously, you know, the girl wants
Mom
to get...
Mom gave you 2 gold stars today. That makes you
it's
the
very
valedictorian.
Awkward. They go out and they buy a dress and everything. It's very awkward.
You're so good at homeschool, Jason.
Would you guys like to have been homeschooled or no?
No, I
think it would have been okay. I don't know.
I wouldn't handle that. Like,
would have been kind of weird.
Mom!
It was okay. Like, the acting was okay. It's just a coming-of-age story about this girl. She moves out. It's actually really awkward. She eventually, leaves, you know, gets into a fight with her mother because she wants to go to, like, a real college. And her mom signs her up for an online college, of course, so she doesn't leave the house.
Yeah.
But she eventually...
for here.
Yeah, she eventually runs away and lives...
Trust the internet more than people.
Yeah. And she eventually moves away and moves back in with her father. And her father is dating Haley Joel Osment from The Sixth Sense.
That makes sense.
So it was very weird seeing Haley as this really flamboyant guy wearing a lot of makeup. It was weird. It was very weird to see him that way. It's kind of disturbing, but I don't know. The movie's okay. not much to write home about. You know, she eventually comes to her own, gets incepted to this design because she loves clothes. That's it. I don't know why I just ruined the whole movie. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, people. I don't know why I did that.
Haley Joel Osment.
Oh, I wanted to see Haley Joel Osment.
Turns out he was dead the whole time. Yeah. So it sucks.
Yeah. What else did I see? And then one other thing. I finally got around to seeing Undefeated. It's a football documentary.
Oh, yeah. You were saying that.
I believe it won the whatever. I don't like the Oscars anymore.
Semicolon, underscore, underscore, semicolon.
But yeah, it's quite a tearjerker. It's just about this school that has that just had a horrible football program since it began, and this is about these kids. Or, you know, it's pretty much a predominantly black school, and this is about them, about one of their seasons where they did really well. It's called Undefeated. Spoiler: they're not undefeated. They actually lose the first game, and then. But it's just a really powerful movie. Like, the centerpiece of it is, like, this coach who's just trying to, like, sacrificing his at-home life, like, the life of his family and the kids that he has for these other kids, trying to raise them, like, you know, put them in the right direction and stuff like that. But check it out. Even if you don't like sports, I think you could still get something out of it for sure. And you'll probably cry if you're like me. You'll probably cry a lot. So
please don't be offended by my phone, internet.
It's okay.
And Jason.
Yeah, me more so.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm just playing. It's like, I know you're just... Sorry.
All right, so you're up, Robert. I believe that's all I watched.
God, I know I've seen more than this, but what I did see was This Is 40.
Oh, cool.
With the Judd Apatow movie.
Did you guys review that?
No. Oh,
No, we didn't. We weren't. I don't think we were recording episodes around that time.
No. That was around Christmas time, right? I think we.
We were.
We did Hobbit instead, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really. The movie. It's not really a movie. It felt like a bunch of like segments.
Okay.
And it went nowhere, and then it just ended, like really. Yeah. And it was just watching a bunch of. Do you have any Judd Apatow DVDs at home, like 40 Year Old Virgin or Knocked Up?
I've seen a lot.
You know the deleted scenes or like the you know the Saturday
like the movie? Extended director's cut
or whatever. Like that.
It's just.
Do you feel like the leftover film?
Yeah, like, I feel like it's like, let's take all these deleted scenes and put it together and try to make a movie out of it. Yeah,
casserole of crap.
Yeah. And like I'm not married or anything, so obviously, but I know I heard
yet.
Like I hear some people say, well, they can relate to certain scenes in the
ladies.
Movie.
He's not married. Ladies.
I hear people say that they can relate to certain scenes in the movies, but in the movie, but I just I don't know. I mean, I laughed. I'm not gonna lie. There are moments that I laughed. Just because I laughed doesn't mean that the movie's good. Like that the movie's supposed to be good.
Yeah.
I didn't. I was so angry at the end. It went nowhere. Nothing, you know, it really did go nowhere.
If you're just, I agree with that.
Okay, like, I mean, I get it. You're, like, taking a look into, a window into, like, the life of, like, this married couple for a certain amount of time in their 40s when they turn 40. So, yeah, it may not go nowhere. There may not be any resolution or anything, mm-hmm. but I feel like I stopped liking Judd Apatow after Knocked Up because I thought Funny People kind of after a while...
Funny People was like five acts too long.
No, yeah.
Out of a 10-act movie.
Think this is 40 is. I feel like this is Judd Apatow just either wanking off in front of the audience or like saying, "Oh, look at what I
like
I
that
can
gesture.
Do.
Can you do that again? Can you do that gesture again?"
All over Jason.
Like this is like Judd Apatow saying, "Look, guys, let me show you how much I can suck my own dick." And like get pleasure out of it for myself and fuck you. You know, that's what I got out of the movie. Like I'm like, well, fuck you too, Judd Apatow. I guess you don't give a shit about anybody else but yourself. That's all I got at the end of the movie. And I really did. I screamed out, fuck you, Judd Apatow, at the end of the movie. I really did. After watching it, I was
still that angry.
Yeah.
Anger.
So, I don't know. I guess if you're married and you're close to 40, watch it just so you can say, oh, yeah, I can see you. I can relate to that. But other than that, you're not going to get anything out of the movie.
It wasn't meant for our demographic.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I don't know.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I saw other stuff, too. I just can't remember what the fuck I saw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is 27.
But, yeah, I'm trying to think.
Hashtag.
What else did I see? I saw something and I just can't remember. Oh,
yeah, I don't think I saw anything else.
I'll save it for next time.
Hey, so we could kill some conversation. If you guys want to ask any questions in regards to the podcast,
hey, they didn't have any queued up.
There is a delay, so we're gonna wait for a second. But yeah,
give us some questions. They didn't have any.
No, they're just kind of conversating.
Come on, guys.
Who's talking to each other? Who's talking to who?
Cynthia, Alex, and Laura are all talking to each other.
They would.
That's the only ones who've been chatting so far. If you guys have questions?
No comments. Please. Come on, guys.
They're talking about...
What are they talking about?
This is 40... I don't know, just random crap.
They would.
So what's going on, guys?
Not much.
While we wait. While we wait.
I'm trying to figure out what I saw.
Oh, unrelated to Oz, but very out there. Mm-hmm. There was headlines based on Oz, and they're weird. There was... There was two articles that came out, and Native American bloggers came out of the woodwork for this Oz movie, and the main actress, don't know her name. Oh no, Michelle Williams.
Mm-hmm.
She came out and she did a European magazine where she posed with like kind of like dirt on her cheeks, like basically kind of like red facing herself up. Like that's what they call it when you try to be Indian and it's like not like appropriation. It's red facing. Yeah. So she heightened her cheeks up with makeup and she put a feather on and fake braids and people blocked her. Like, you know, you're doing red face. You know, this is you're over-sexualizing in Indianness. And they're saying like it is a big thing in media right now for Native appropriations that people want to act Indian. And they're like, oh yeah, we would let you go for that. But apparently she did a full interview saying, I couldn't relate with the munchkins and the monkeys and all that stuff. I couldn't relate with them. So I used only what I can in real life and said, they're Indians. They're like Native Americans. So I looked at all these mythical creatures as Indians. So it was pretty hot in Indian country. And I watched the film and there was nothing wrong with it. So, and it goes further. The rabbit hole goes further. Apparently, Frank, the writer of The Wizard of Oz, the original?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't forget. L. Frank...
Baum? Or, yeah.
Yeah. Apparently, he was a vivid... he had ideas of Manifest Destiny. He saw it coming. This is the 1970s.
Uh-huh.
So he saw Manifest Destiny in work. He's writing this book during like the Indian Wars. And he says... There's nowhere further to go with this than to exterminate every single Native American. So, like, he was extremely racist. So this is just another tie. Three ties to the Native community in this one movie. And both of them don't link to the film. So, sorry, Indian community, but it was just a kid's film. But yeah, there was three topics. Not to undermine the topics. They're all side topics. But do they link with the children's film? Maybe not.
So a Mr. Charles Roy is watching.
I'm glad. I hope you heard that last rant, because that last... If you read into this, it's like, it's a rabbit hole. It goes really deep. Okay. It's stupid.
So we have... What happened? I'm sorry.
Oh.
We have some questions.
Okay. Yay!
So Laura Lopez, we're going to get back to Oz for a second, but...
Because we're there. I brought it back. Why? Segue me.
Look at that. Why did you guys hate the sister storyline of Oz when that's what drove the story in The Wizard of Oz? Any comments there?
Cricket. Oh, she's talking to me.
Yeah. No, just in general.
Oh, why did I hate it? It's just writing, I suppose.
No, it wasn't really. Yeah, I guess
it was so forced. It was fast. It was fast. It was like, you know what, sister? I hate you. Oh, I'm the evil sister. I'm not the evil sister.
Yeah.
But you always were the evil sister. But that's a movie. It's a kid's movie.
And you could just tell the way she dressed and she was not nice.
Yeah.
I guess. She's wearing dark clothes.
Franco wasn't nice.
I don't know. It wasn't strong. There was no strength there.
It was like,
I mean, I understand driving the story, but that's a problem I have like with these movies like that. Like, it's a prequel. I mean, I didn't necessarily have a huge problem with it in this case, but I just hate like over explaining a timeline of something. Like, I don't need to know how Oz got to Oz. You know, even if Wicked, I saw Wicked on Broadway and I wasn't a big fan. Like,
how was it?
It was all right. Like, I like Wizard of Oz. Like, that's it. I don't need all these other stories that have connections to it and to see how that all came together. Like, I don't need that. And it's Mila Kunis. That's why the sisters were terrible.
Yeah.
Because half of the sisters were terrible. So
I could see that.
Cynthia said, what would you say was the strongest point of Oz?
The monkey. Monkeys save movies.
I'm going to agree with the monkey.
Yeah, monkey save
movies. I wish there was so much more of the monkey.
He was so funny.
He was good.
That monkey.
When I saw him come on, I'm like, man, stupid CGI character for comic relief. But
yeah.
No. It was smart.
No.
Funny.
So. There was heart in that CGI.
Yeah, definitely. I think Alex asked a serious question.
Great.
I could be wrong here. Serious question. Did you guys see Mia turning into the bad witch or Rachel?
No, I always knew it was Mila.
Yeah.
I always knew it was Mila.
Oh, that little window of opportunity that where he could guess that if she would be the evil.
It was a small window.
It was like this.
I mean, for me, it was always her. It was always going to be her.
Even before I saw the movie, I knew right away, like, oh, she turns into the... Like, she even in the interview said, oh, like, my character plays this person who gets, like, hurt.
Was she trying not to spoil it?
Yeah, like, throughout all the interviews? Like, she's a person who gets hurt badly that, you know, she turns into this.
She's on Conan O'Brien.
Oh, okay, so I know that she turns into the Wicked, like the Wicked Witch, like the green one or whatever.
She's on Conan O'Brien just saying, like, I don't want to give any spoilers.
She's so bad, yeah. Oh, shut your mouth, Meg. Oh, I said that too. We're watching.
Was that you? Or no, I think some other, like, I've heard that, saying that it's an angry Meg.
No, I was, we're watching the movie and I turn over to Jason and go, shut up, Meg. And I say that, and I just couldn't stop laughing because that's all I thought of was Meg. Because that's what she sounded like, an angry Meg.
Yeah. Angry Meg.
When she started yelling, it was just the worst.
Yeah.
When she turned green.
Yeah, I think that's it. Laura had a nerdy question, but I'm going to ignore it.
No, put it in. Come on.
Many people believe that The Wizard of Oz is based on political issues during that time. Did this film touch on that at all?
No.
For example, in the book, Dorothy's shoes are silver, not red.
Oh, God.
Which symbolized the silver standard, and the yellow brick road symbolized the gold standard. That's it.
You got to hear there's more like this. That's what I was telling you about this article. Like in Indian country, they have this article that's saying that guy was believing in like this complete obliteration of a manifest destiny. And like, they break it down to this point where it's like, all this symbolizes the road to the West, going West, you know, like in 1870, they were here on the map. But, like, his thing, he forecasts the future for America. We're going to go further, and we're going to keep on going. And they're saying the yellow brick road is literally manifest destiny going towards the West Coast. So people read into if Frank felt that way, don't know. Are we reading into it too much? Maybe.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you can write your own poetry to anything.
Yeah, definitely. You can draw connections, usually, if you try hard
especially
enough.
Especially when he's such a blatant racist. So, that's fun.
Yeah. Cool. Well, that's about it. Why am I doing my sexy voice? That was the question.
Sexy voice.
Am I starting to do that now?
When'd you turn it off?
Exactly. All right. Well, that's going
to
be the show.
We got to sign the movie.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm fucking dropping the ball here. So next week's movie homework. Rudy's not here. He gave me Another Earth. So I'm gonna have to watch Another Earth. I'm picking Moneyball for him because it's one of my favorite movies of the year. Came out and he never saw it.
Oh, that's one of the ones I saw. Moneyball.
Yeah. I didn't see that.
You need to see Moneyball.
I will eventually.
And then Robert, what's your pick for Anthony?
My pick for Anthony is Bronson.
Cool.
By Nicholas Winding Refn.
Yep. Anthony, what's your pick for Mr. Roberto?
My pick for Roberto is The 7-Year Itch. Marilyn Monroe's star-struck, famous seg piece that she's holding her skirt. That's the film.
Cool. Yeah, I'll probably check that out, too, so I can be part of
so the awesome.
Conversation.
Yeah, you just have to watch it. It's so good.
Cool. All right, well, that's the show for today. You can email us at thefilmclubpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Facebook or Twitter.
The Quiet Storm.
And if you want to leave a voicemail, 773-245-3476. I'll repeat, 773-245-3476 is the number. Where you can reach us at, leave us a voicemail. It will be played on air.
Now we're going to leave you with a soothing sound
of Mila Kunis screaming. Bye, guys.
Later.